For over 10 years, we've been bringing you killer metal music and frank discussions about heavy metal. Wait, who the hell is Frank? You are tuned into MSR Cast, brought to you by Mainstream Resistance. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek and Sean the Metal Pigeon. Keep it metal.
Welcome to episode number 148,000.
195, you mean?
That's what I meant. Of the MSR Cast, the metal podcast. Doing this for what, almost 12 years now?
Yes.
Something like that? It's been a long time, man.
Long time.
How are you?
I'm good.
You are?
I'm ready for...
No, who are you?
I'm the Metal Pigeon,
I'm Sean. Kerry the Metal Geek. We need to introduce ourselves,
we're
I guess.
We're doing this all backwards this week.
We're all weird tonight.
How are you?
I'm good, man.
Yeah. I'm getting ready for, I'm mentally in summer mode now.
Yeah.
And it's hot outside. I know it's, well, and the thing about the Houston Heat now is that I've been here for so long, it doesn't really, I'm not going to say it doesn't bother me, because it does, it bothers everyone. But I'm just so used to it that I just have learned to grin and bear it over the years. So where I'm just kind of
so
like,
you're ready to go to a 3-day festival out in the heat?
No, I will not do that.
Me either.
But I am willing to see Iron Maiden in an air conditioned venue, which we'll talk about later. Which is a nice change of pace for the first scene shows in the summer, big shows in the summer.
I think every time Iron Maiden has been here in the last 20 years, has been in the Woodlands.
Yeah, out, which is, for those who don't know, is an outdoor venue. And if you're lucky enough to sit in the
covered,
shaded part,
shaded cover,
it's not quite as, you know, deathly hot as it is on the hill.
I'm going there in August for Deep Purple, because the tickets on the lawn are like $20. I've never seen them. I do remember seeing an Ozfest there one year, and the second stage was off to the right, back sort of behind the main stage, but it was in the parking. It was like in a parking lot. They just put a stage on.
That's weird.
And that sun was, it was in the middle of like June or July in Houston. The sun was like coming. It was like black tar, you know, and the sun was just coming up off the ground.
Yeah.
So damn hot.
Yeah. And I don't know. I don't like seeing shows outside typically. I mean, that's the venue where I just go there. You go there because the band you want to see goes there.
Yeah.
And you have no choice. But if you really had a choice, you'd rather be inside. You know, even if it was like cold outside, I just like indoor shows. Over the years, I've learned that that's kind of my preference. So.
For the Woodlands being a big amphitheater outside, the sound there is not horrible.
It's good. It's okay. Yeah.
That's why I'm sort of scared. Let's get in the Iron Maiden right now.
Okay, let's talk about it. Yeah.
So we're recording this on the weekend. We're going to be seeing them next week on Wednesday.
Right.
They're going to be playing at the Toyota Center here in Houston, which I've never been. I've never seen a concert there.
This will be my first time.
I'm afraid of the sound quality for paying so much for a ticket.
Yeah, but you and I, we're going to be on the floor.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be more of a conventional experience for us because we'll be in that sweet range between the sound booth and the stage.
I was just talking to some people that were at Metallica.
Yeah.
And I saw people on my Facebook feed and all that friends of mine that were taking pictures of the show, and they were so damn far away.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, how much do they pay and how bad does it sound? Because being that far away, way up in the far right or whatever,
right,
stage is like all the way front.
Yeah.
That sound is going to travel.
And that was friend of the show, Maurice, from Blues Funeral, who posted a picture on Facebook
of where he
was sitting. I guess a pretty decent ticket considering where he was in relation to the stage, but it's so far away. Energy Stadium, if you don't remember, is where they had the freaking Super Bowl in February. So
I think I made a comment on his page or somebody's page that I have a better view from my home.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, no complaints from Maurice. He said it was good.
Well, yeah.
Which I guess you're going to say when you come back from a show like that. And it's. I heard different things on when they were talking about the show on sports radio the day after on Monday. I heard different reviews from people.
It's loud. It's Metallica.
The higher you sit, the more rattly that sound gets, you know.
I remember seeing Metallica in 92. With Guns N' Roses and Faith No More, it was at the Astrodome. And you could hear when they started playing a song, it took a few seconds for the sound wave to actually hit you.
Jeez.
It would just travel around. It was like the most...
Yeah.
It was like, it's like when you're watching TV and the audio was off.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, it's horrible. So going back to Iron Maiden.
I have looked at the set list and been comparing them from day to day. It doesn't seem like it's changing.
No, not really.
They're playing 6 new songs from the new album, which I'm okay with. I could do without a song like Death and Glory, but my hope is, as I was talking to a friend of mine today, was that, hey, some of these songs that I wasn't wild about in Book of Souls will sound better live, sure, as they always tend to. And I haven't started preparing for this show. I haven't started listening to Maiden in earnest. I'm going to start maybe on the weekend. My attitude is that once I'm out there on the floor and I feel the vibe of the fans around me and like the excitement of everyone, and it'll be great. It's weird. I didn't think we were going to talk about this early, in the show. No, yeah. I do feel sort of bittersweet about this show because I feel like there's something I can't explain, but there's something about this show that feels like this might be the last time I ever see
Nico
him.
Said he might not be in the band much longer.
Yeah, which, so, you know.
This could be his last tour. We don't know.
Right, yeah. Which I don't think the band would maybe, I don't know if they would hang it up if he decided to hang it up.
Maybe not.
But it'd be weird for them to get a replacement drummer at this point. Maybe they would just get like a friend of theirs, like, you know, a friend of the band to come drum with them or guest drummers or something like that. But I don't know. I don't know why he would do it if he could still do it. You know, at least go out with the band, go out, play the final tour, play the final show or whatever.
And you get Dave Lombardo in there.
But basically, I don't feel like this is the last Iron Maiden album, but I do feel like there's something about this show that feels like, for me, this will be maybe the last time I get to see him. But you know, I haven't been listening to Iron Maiden because I've been listening to the band you just heard when we kicked off the show like an hour ago, Unleash the Archers.
Yes.
I have been listening to this album nonstop.
Somebody else, an ex-coworker of mine, messaged me the other day, like last week. She's like, hey, how come you didn't tell me about Unleash the Archers? I'm like, I just found out about them. I just found out.
Right.
So the first thing I want to say about them is I definitely agree. They are an amazing band. It's like their third or fourth album.
Fourth, I think.
The vibe that, like, it sounds like 3 inches of blood with a female vocalist.
Yeah, I can see that.
That band a lot.
Yeah. This is not the first time I
power metal.
This is not the first time I've listened to these guys. Sort of like, okay, it's okay, but whatever, it didn't stick. And so this time around, again, I hear the buzz coming or whatever, and it's like, all right, another album from these guys. I'll give them a shot. And something about them, they've kind of just found their sound, and the songwriting's tighter and more focused. And on the album is Apex, and that song is to me in the running for songs of the year. It's my second favorite song on the album. This is such a fun album to listen to. It's like Iron Maiden with a kind of American sheen of aggression. Anathema.
Or it's actually probably...
It's coming out today, I believe. So also is a new Iced Earth album. And yeah.
Look, I'm trying to find it in town to go purchase. I listened to it on Spotify. It's a great album.
Yeah, I need to go buy it.
That's one band that I, you know, some bands you just go buy every album.
We're Here Because We're Here is also another, that was their kind of rebirth, basically. But
yeah.
And I think there are great songs in there. But, you know, there are tremendous songs in that album, I think. But there's not like a eye-popping song. Heavy song they've done in a while. It has a certain darkness and some kind of grit to it also.
Let everybody hear this track, and we'll get back.
Thank you.
And that was some fine death metal grooving right there. That is from the brand new Suffocation album. The song is called Your Last Breath, One Last Caress. It's not really that. But the album is called Dot, Dot, Dot of the Dark Light.
Quite the contrast from Anathema.
Yeah, that I plan it out that way. Where else can you hear Anathema straight into Suffocation?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think that that Suffocation track sounded a little lacking to me. I don't know. It wasn't exciting.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why.
I disagree.
I guess I
like those guys.
I'll have to go and listen to that album, I guess. But that's the first I've heard of New Suffocation. So is that came out, or that's coming out, right? It's not out yet.
It is out now, I believe.
Okay.
Like right this moment now.
Yeah. There are a lot of releases coming out in these in June.
Yeah, June 9th it came out.
Okay, yeah.
Which apparently you can pick it up at some Best Buys.
Oh, really? Yeah.
They put that on their Facebook page. They went and bought one at a Best Buy. I'm like, all right, that's cool. You don't find much metal there anymore. You don't find much music there anymore at all, you know?
I don't even think about going to Best Buy for music at all.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the New Suffocation. They're on tour with Morbid Angel and a couple other bands.
Yeah, that's coming to Houston, right?
Yeah. It'll be here this next Sunday, next week.
You going to go to that one?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I already have plans on that Sunday afternoon, so it's...
Where is it going to be? Scout Bar?
House of Blues.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And before, of course, Suffocation, we heard Anathema. The song was Springfield. The Optimist is the name of the album.
Yeah.
You think that's based on The Simpsons?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with their concept there.
Yeah, I need to... Maybe in like read through the lyrics and all that. Now that it's tied to Find Data Exit, that's really cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So what else is going on? Do we have any topics you want to talk about before we get into our next round of music?
What do you think about the Houston Open Air thing?
What do I think about it?
Yeah.
I went to the last one.
Well, it's funny because this ties into a couple of things that are going on. What were you saying?
So I went to the one in September last year.
Yeah.
Got rained out. Well, it didn't get rained out. It got...
That whole ordeal.
Weathered out.
The lightning out, basically.
It was in a location where if there's any type of lightning, they kick everybody out.
Right.
And there was that whole thing going on.
They basically held it during the worst time in the worst place they could have held it in Houston. A city that gets rained on quite a bit.
This year, it's going to be in October. But I am not a fan of the lineup at all. So let's go through it. I'm pulling it up right now. It's a 2-day festival.
It's so bad.
It is bad.
Generic and bad.
So let's look at Saturday. Start from the beginning. Okay, I'm not going to mention bands I've never heard of. While She Sleeps, they're okay. Code Orange, who I saw recently opening up for Anthrax and Killswitch.
Right.
They were good. They're definitely a different type of band for this. Avatar.
Avatar.
Apparently they're really popular.
Okay.
They're one of the bands that stuck around after last year's show, the debacle. And they played a free show for people at Scout Bar.
That's cool. Yeah.
Of Mice and Men, do not like them.
Nope.
Sam I Am, In This Moment, Gojira, seen Gojira before, it's not an amazing thing for me, Hailstorm, Marilyn Manson, and Five Finger Death Punch.
Yeah.
No. Fuck no.
Yeah.
Okay, Sunday, let's go to Sunday. Black Map, Palisades, Dead, spelled D-E-D, Radkey, Power Trip. Power Trip are cool. Power Trip are like this really cool. Oh, yeah. They're from Dallas, I believe. I saw them open up for Anthrax last year.
I remember you telling me about
Power Trip. They're actually pretty good. Like a hardcore, you know, thrash crossover type of band, you know?
Right, yeah.
August Burns Red. Don't know them. Zach Sabbath. Isn't this a tribute cover band or something?
Starring Zach Wilde.
Is it Zach Wilde?
I guess so.
Those but a few details. I just see a picture. I don't get any more than that. Steel Panther is playing. I could live my whole life with not seeing them live.
Yeah.
Suicidal Tendencies.
Yeah.
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 Mastodon. Yeah. Then the two headliners, the Stone Sour and Prophets of Rage.
Yeah. So here's the thing with this.
Now, I'll admit this. I wouldn't mind seeing Prophets of Rage because I like old school Cypress Hill and I like old school Public Enemy. I was never a fan of, what's the name of the band? Rage Against the Machine.
Rage Against
the
Machine.
The Audio Slave, okay. But they don't just do like Rage songs. They'll do like Beastie Boy covers and they'll do all these different. Because there was like some set list I saw, and they're one of the bands playing Hellfest this weekend, too.
Yeah, they would be entertaining at least to see them.
I think so. Even without being a big fan of everybody, it'd still be fun because it's Chuck D. And what's the other guy from Cypress Hill? B-Real.
Yeah, the main guy.
Yeah, Tom Morello is in the band.
So it's now, I'm just judging this from the outside. You actually went to the show last year.
Yeah.
But from looking at the lineups, it seemed like last year was a situation where you could see a plethora of bands,
good bands
in one setting for one ticket price, you know, a hefty ticket price, but one ticket price, and that would be a pretty good deal. Here's this, what I see in this situation is that there are a lot of bands that most serious metalheads are probably
not going to care
far about. Too advanced for and don't care about, and I'm not putting any of these bands down.
If you like these bands, that's you,
right?
We don't have to like everything that you like.
But this is just these Wimmer festivals are just becoming copycats of each other. There's no difference between Houston Open Air and Chicago Open Air's lineup and any other open air they're doing.
Chicago Open Air last year had Carcass and some good other bands like that.
So they're better. But I think it just seems like the Wimmer idea that they're this production group, they basically just kind of copy-paste almost the same format across the country. And the headliners are the main thing. It's like, who can we get to headline this Five Finger Death Punch? Oh, big surprise. Like, it just seems to me that it's this time the value's not there. It's like, Prophets of Rage would be great to see, maybe in an indoor venue. I think I'd like to see them, on their own tour. Code Orange, I'd like to see them on their own tour. Power Trip, I'd like to see them in a club somewhere. You know, stuff like that. Like, all these bands, some of these bands sound cool, and I'd be like, I'd love to see them on their own show, doing their own headline set, and get, like, the full experience, instead of a festival thing. There's no reason for me to come out to this.
So I'm looking at their, the company is called Danny Weimer Presents. So they have a show, let's see, they have Carolina Rebellion.
Right.
Rock Allegiance. Rock on the Range.
Rock on the Range,
that's
the first
one they ever did.
Yeah.
Louder Than Life, Bourbon and Beyond. I don't know what that is. The Big Ticket. Welcome to Rockville in Florida. Then Houston Open Air.
Right. Welcome to Rockville is the Florida one, yeah.
Chicago Open Air, Northern Invasion, and Aftershock. Aftershock is one in California.
Yeah.
It's a horrible name to call a show where there's actually Aftershock there.
I guarantee you, if we had like all the flyers for all these shows in one year posted on the wall somewhere, they would all look strikingly similar. And they always have the same old thing. Like,
okay, so let's look at
man food.
Sacramento, California, it's the Aftershock show, right?
Yeah.
Let's look at their lineup. They have Nine Inch Nails, Perfect Circle, Run the Jewels, Stone Sour, Mastodon, Gojira. Then getting into smaller bands, you got Highly Suspect, never heard of them. Eagles of Death Metal, Tech N9ne, Anti-Flag, August Burns Red. So they're mixing more rap and then more commercial rock stuff in there too.
Right. Yeah.
And then the next day, what happened to the page? There's some band called Them Evils. Okay. But then there's like the band Dead, New Year's Day, Fozzy's playing there, Power Trip, Starset, Hollywood Undead, oh fuck no, Steel Panther, In This Moment, Suicidal Tendencies, Hailstorm, Marilyn Manson, Five Finger Death Punch, and Ozzy. All the same bands that are playing here, except for a couple.
Right, yeah, plus Ozzy.
Plus Ozzy, yeah. And I remember when Rock on the Range started, it was just, it was like old hair metal bands.
Right, yeah.
Now, Well, I guess the one in May of this year was supposed to be Metallica, Soundgarden, Korn, Offspring, Volbeat, Primus, Bush, Live, Coheed and Cambria, Seether, Papa Roach, Amon Amarth. That's weird. And Gojira is like way down the list on here, you know?
See, they need more stuff like Amon Amarth mixed in there and give some variety. Like if Houston Open Air had like Amon Amarth or some. Or
Death Haven can't go. Yeah. Red Fang played that one. Why can they can't play ours?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I don't know. I'm just not impressed with the... I'm impressed with the fact that they've been able to stage these shows in major cities across the country and make, like, a presence and make these continuing events and make them, I guess, profitable if they keep on doing them, but I'm not impressed with the way they've done them.
We need to... I mean, I give them props for doing...
For doing
big festival shows in America like they do in Europe all the time and trying to make them eclectic, trying to make a little bit for everybody, but... Okay, so this weekend right now, Hellfest is going on in France, right?
Yeah.
And you can actually go to Google, search the live stream, which I did it with some at work today. So I got to watch part of Autopsy. I watched Sabaton. I missed Devin Townsend. Hopefully they'll replay that. Who else did I watch? I watched Behemoth, which was amazing, and a couple other bands, which I never knew.
Right.
We watched part of what some band called The Damned.
Yeah.
Which I've never been... Old
English punk set, band.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I've always heard of them. I never heard of them. I was like, I liked what I saw. But check out the bands that are playing this show, right? Range a wide fucking gamut.
Right.
So you got Deep Purple. These are headliners now.
Right.
Deep Purple, Aerosmith, Linkin Park. Fuck that. And then you got Prophets of Rage there, Five Finger Death Punch, Slayer, Trust, Rob Zombie, Alter Bridge, Sabaton, Airborne, In Flames, Steel Panther, Ministry, Saxon, Wasp, Apocalyptica, Creator, Emperor, Devin Townsend Project.
See, that's a real
Queensryche
diverse festival.
And that's one day.
Yeah, that's
or
fucking,
one stage.
That's
I think
diverse. Yeah.
And then the next stage, they have them separated. You have Opeth and Coroner, Autopsy, Obituary, Elstorm, Behemoth, Cryptopsy, Pain of Salvation, Turisaws, Marduk, Soilwork, Metal Church, Sanctuary, Decapitated, Alcest, Dot Hammersgard, a lot of the bands below. And then like the last stage they have has bands like The Damned, Rancid, Suicidal Tendencies, Primus, Electric Wizard, Blue Oyster Cult, Dillinger Escape Plan, Red Fang, Candiria, Monster Magnet, Clutch. I'm just barely touching the surface of these bands that are playing.
Yeah, it's just a wide spectrum
of
anything heavy.
And there's so many people there too.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, that's real diversity. You know,
yeah,
that's what the European festival model is.
I wouldn't mind sitting through a Linkin Park if I just saw a Slayer or
right
or Emperor or somebody. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and, you know, if you look at the festival lineup for like Rock Am Ring, Rock Am Park, those types of festivals.
Yeah.
They're so, I mean, they have like pop acts mixed in with the rock acts and stuff. Such a spectrum of stuff. And the thing, I guess maybe my criticism of the Wimmer festivals is that there's such an American hard rock and metal focus on there. Like with the exception of like a few bands like Gojira and stuff like that, there's such an Americanized focus on these bands are American type things. And it's like, you know, that gets a little old, I think.
No, I agree.
So I don't know. I'm not at all interested in Houston Open Air, and frankly, I'm wondering if the headliner can even do anything because apparently Five Finger Death Punch is
I heard about
Son Singer.
Apparently, that guy has a lot of mental problems.
That guy's an idiot.
Yeah, well, besides that, the band I despise the band.
We have gone out of our way not to criticize bands like this on this show because I think the attitude of you and I is that. As long as they're a gateway band, then they serve a purpose. And as long as those Five Finger Death Punch fans graduate into something better over time, you know, that's fine. And they can exist and they can sell out arenas.
This guy just quit the band on stage during a performance.
He basically kind of made the band cut the performance short and they walked off stage. And like the worst way to quit a band. You know,
there was an article in the Houston Press about the Houston Open Air talking about this band in particular, saying that they're not really welcome here in Houston. And then she went off to say how come there's no, if it's a Houston open air, where's all the Houston bands?
Yeah, there's she no mentioned, local talent.
She mentioned in this article in the Houston Press, she mentioned Oceans of Slumber. She mentioned the King's X. She mentioned, she's like, where's
Maximus,
Hellstar? Yeah. Where's Dead Horse? Where's Venomous Maximus? Right. Where's all these bands that are that have risen up
yeah,
rised up or are coming up in the local Houston scene? How come these guys aren't playing this show?
Last year they had some lame thing about how they're going to have a local music showcase or spotlight, but it never materialized.
There was a pre-show with Between the Buried and Me a couple days before at Warehouse Live, though, when they're playing Colors in it. 10-year anniversary of Colors, their album. They're playing that in its entirety, which could be cool. But it's not, it's totally separate. But it's a pre-show, you know, right, pre-party type of deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah. I remember seeing Tattoo the Earth. Do you remember Tattoo the Earth?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They even had local bands playing. I remember the Demon Seeds were on that show in Houston.
Yeah.
I was thinking about how all these big shows back in the late, you know, the early 90s and late, you know, late 90s I saw, like, I remember the first couple of Lollapaloozas that I saw, and I'm like, it's amazing how many good bands that I've seen over my life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And apparently through setlist.fm, which I use to see what bands are playing at shows, you can go on there and click on a show and say, I was there. And you can make a list of all the shows that you've been at.
Oh, cool.
So that thing I've always bitched about, I'm like, where's the list of all these shows? You know, you can sort of cultivate it through
Remember your own history.
But there's so many that I forget.
Yeah.
Like, I know I've seen this band, but when did I see him? Who were they with? Yeah. Where was it at?
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Especially when you're, you know, I'm old, so.
Right. It might be a challenge.
You start seeing a couple hundred shows, you're just like, when was that? Who was that?
Well, there was a show that I was trying to remember that we had, because I was thinking of all the shows we've seen in the past couple months, and there was a show we were at Scout Bar. I remember we were sitting outside, like, talking about how there was a creek out in the back. And I can't remember who, or was that Swallow the Sun and Dark, and or was that Dark Tranquility, or, like, I can't remember anymore.
I think it was the Dark, well.
I just have no idea. I've been to too many shows.
It was recently. It was like the,
because I remember you and I were outside, like, we were, like, skipping in the opening
band. It was the Amorphous
band.
Show.
Okay, it was for Amorphous.
Amorphous,
yeah,
and Swallow the Sun. It was, like, between bands or something.
Maybe, yeah.
I remember at that show when Testament played, I interviewed Alex Skolnick. And for this very here podcast, and we went out to that creek area and we sat on the, you know, the ledge there and we did the interview.
Yeah.
Which is cool. All right. So let's get on to our next stuff. This is a band that I wanted to play. Have you heard this yet?
No.
This is very, very cool. This is a band called Vur, V-U-U-R, right? I'm going to pull this up. So it's Annika von Gersbergen. This is her new heavy band.
Okay.
So she's been influenced by the, you know, the Gentle Storm and all this recently stuff she's doing with Devin and everybody. And she's created this band. It has Ed Warby on drums from Arion and Gorefest, and different people from different bands that she's been playing in recently. So this is her heavy band called V-U-U-R, Vur.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, but it's really good. I don't know if you haven't heard this yet, so this is going to be something cool and exciting for you.
All right.
Let's get into it. Annika. We'll be right back.
still alive. I'm afraid to open my eyes. What if the dream won't disappear? I've been here forever in the stream without an end. Oh, this is only for a moment. Oh, please let me know.
Sometimes it is.
And by The Ferryman, which is really Mr. Magnus Carlsen.
That is correct.
Who, this guy just gets around all over the place, apparently. And
so, yeah, this band, it's Magnus Carlsen, if you don't know who that is. Check
Primal
him out.
Fear.
Primal Fear. He did a lot of stuff on Frontiers Records, that type of thing. Check out Free Fall, his side project, which is really good. Has a vocalist, Ronnie Romero. This guy I've never really heard before, but he's currently the singer for Rainbow.
Right.
Yeah. And drummer Mike Tirana, who used to be, he's been in Tarja, Rage, Vision Divine, Axel Rudy Pell, bunch of different bands. Apparently this guy has like 100 albums under his belt. So
yeah. Yeah. And a funny guy too.
Really?
If you're, he gets interviewed a lot with Dr. Metal on Metal Meltdown and has a lot of interesting stories. Great personality. But yeah, definitely, definitely like the go-to drummer, it seems like, for the European scene.
Yeah, I'm looking up his credits right now. It's,
and you know, speaking of go-to, I mean, it seems like Magnus Carlsen is, I think he actually has a staff position on that label, to where he does like do songwriting for all their various projects. Because if you remember, yeah. I think that he did the songwriting for the Michael Kiske, Amanda Somerville album. Like,
right, he did, yeah.
And then he did some stuff for, I think, some of Jorn's solo songs, contributed to some of that. And then he also, remember Timo Tolkki was doing a writing project for the Russell Allen Jorn albums. And then when he dropped out, Magnus took over and handled the songwriting for some of that stuff.
That's so, a better deal than, right?
Yeah. Well, I think that there was an album, the last album they came out with those guys, they had that one song I really liked on there called Lady of Winter. I think that might have been a Magnus Carlsen thing.
Yeah.
But I really like Magnus Carlsen's songwriting approach. The song we just heard, that swelling chorus, he does that so well. And he just has a knack for him, and he slowly has risen in my ranks, in my esteem, personally, as one of the better power metal songwriters in this particular A&R hard rock-influenced power metal vein. And if you haven't heard that Kingdom of Rock album, that last Magnus Carlsen's Free Fall, get that album. It's called Kingdom of Rock, and it has a Jorn on there, and I think it even has a Joel and Turner, ex-Rainbow singer, on there. And on this song called No Control, which is a fantastic song. And there's so many great songs on that album. It was one of those things that it snuck up on me that year. I think it was 2015 when it was released. And I kept on listening to that album, going back to it just because it was fun. And then later on when I did my rankings, I think I kind of left it out just because I felt like, oh, that was just a lark. I was just listening to that as a laugh or something. But
right.
When I thought about later on, I was like, that probably should have gone in the top 10 just based on how much I freaking listened to it. So maybe I overlooked it just because I was like, I thought it was a novelty project or something. But
so yeah, he's been involved, or Magnus Carlsen, of course, has been involved with Primal Fear since 2009.
Yeah.
He's been in Place Vendome with Michael Kiske.
That's right, yeah.
Kiske Somerville stuff, Ralph Sheeper's solo album, The Ferryman now, Bob Catley, let's see here, Alan Land's, those solo albums.
Right,
the first three, Starbreaker.
Yeah, he just tied into that world. And that Place Vendome stuff was really good, too. That was before Kiske
got back. They just put a new album out this year.
They did.
Have you heard it yet?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's really good, actually.
I figured he was too busy with what's their name? With the whole reunion thing with Helloween.
Close to the Sun is the name of the album. Came out in 2017. Guitar solo was by Gus G, Kai Hansen, Magnus Carlsen, a bunch of different people. Came out in February.
Okay, huh.
You might need to go back and check that out.
Yeah, it flew under the radar.
Yeah.
That was always a side project of his that did fly under the radar, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's still one of my favorite vocalists. He still can hit those notes.
Yeah.
I hope that Helloween World Tour comes anywhere near here, because I am going.
Yeah. Have you ever seen
Helloween?
No.
I've seen them once. I was up in Chicago visiting family, and there was a concert venue that wasn't too far from my aunt's place. And it was Jag Panzer and Helloween.
Yeah.
I was like, this is like early 2000s, maybe?
Yeah.
I was like, I am not missing the show.
Dark Ride tour, probably, right?
I believe it was, actually, yeah.
I love that album. It's funny, we were talking about Helloween. I was just listening to Keeper Part 1 and 2 last night.
Amazing albums.
Yeah.
Helloween, one of the very first power metal bands that I ever heard. Because I walked into with a Sam Goody in West Oaks Mall,
yeah,
and I saw the big ass display of the standee of the Pumpkin Guy.
Yeah,
I was like, "What is this? This sounds really interesting." It was like Keeper of the Seven Keys Part 2.
Wow!
So I bought the album, and that was it. I was like, "Oh
man, that was when that mall was happening."
Yeah. I got my very first CD in that mall.
You remember
what was your very first CD you ever owned?
Oh, first CD was probably the Robin Hood Prince of Thieves soundtrack.
Yeah, it's not the answer I was looking for.
First rock CD was Green Day, Dookie.
Mine was Slayer, Show No Mercy. Bought at that store in the mall.
All right, you got me beat on that.
Yeah.
You remember the pizza place in that mall, Brothers Pizza?
No, not really.
Oh, you get like this big ass slice of pizza. It was like $1.99. Then they give
I
you
worked
this,
in that mall, like,
awesome drink and stuff.
I worked in that mall like two different places.
Really?
Not gonna mention any names. No.
I loved that old food court before they renovated the mall. Yeah. Like the way it was like this weird maze.
They
or
had
whatever.
The Arby's in the food court, which was amazing.
Yeah, but it was all the small little independent places. They were mostly like that I remember. Like the there was a place called Potato Pizzazz where I swear to God the entire concept of the place was just like fried potatoes with like toppings on them, like, you know, like cheddar cheese or whatever, or sour cream and like, or meat or something. It was just like the most simple concept for like a mall food court place.
It sounds pretty good.
It was awesome. Yeah.
All right. Let's get back to the metal.
Yeah. I'm making me hungry.
So yeah, that was the band called The Ferryman. Before that, we heard the band Vreer. That's probably the way you say it.
Yeah.
It's like, what's the accent? Which, of course, is Annika von Gersbergen's new band. Album's not out yet, but they have one song out available. Apparently, it's going to be a big concept album and everything. And, yeah, we were listening to it just now, and we both said the same thing. You're like, you know what this reminds me of? And I was like, The Gathering.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I was also...
You mentioned Therion, too.
I was also reminded of, like, 2007 era Therion, which was when they released Gothic Kabbalah, which is their most... kind of pop.
That's the one with Matt Levin, right?
It has Matt Levin on there and Snowy Shaw doing vocals, and it has female vocalists who are very good, who are like more pop inclined. And it sounds weird to say that, but it was a more direct album. Songs they were more built around actual hooks and stuff like that. And
you know, I give that the metal sign. Oh, wait a minute, I shouldn't do that because I might get sued by Gene Simmons.
Oh.
Have you heard about this?
No.
This is, okay, so apparently he's trying to copyright the metal sign.
You mean the...
The actual horns, yeah. So, but he doesn't do it right. He puts his thumb out. So, in the article I read today, okay, so basically he's trying to copyright the metal horns, that he's the one who originated and all this kind of stuff. And everyone's like, no. If you go back, okay, the first... place it was ever used, I believe it was it Sgt. Pepper's?
Yeah.
One of the Beatles albums.
Right.
John Lennon is throwing at the metal sign.
Yeah.
He's throwing up the horns. That's why the Funko Pop of John Lennon, he's doing the metal sign.
Yeah.
Because it's on that album cover.
Right, yeah.
But it got popularized by, of course, Ronnie James Dio. It's the ward off the evil spirit.
Right.
The devil horns.
And Dio would always have it in the pose, too, where he's leaning forward.
Yeah,
it's really like he's directing
really
it at you.
Gene Simmons does his thumb out, so which is more of a Spider-Man.
And he kind of holds his arm to his side like some goofball.
Yeah.
Like he's taking the pledge of, like he's swearing an oath to the Constitution or something.
Right. It's just frustrating. I'm glad our logo doesn't have the horns in it, but.
Well, I'm glad that no one takes Gene Simmons seriously enough to give this that much.
Maybe he was just missing some news. He's like, nobody's been talking about me recently. I'm going to start something stupid.
I mean, to trademark a cultural thing like that, it's like, you think you can... like reappropriate this monetarily somehow?
Right.
Like what's the matter with you? Stop.
So, you seen any good music videos recently? Maybe like tonight?
So it turns out Red Fang, this band, is pretty damn good at making really amusing music videos.
So I've heard Red Fang before.
Yeah, no, the name has been familiar to me. I know I've heard their music before.
Yeah, but it wasn't until
it wasn't
tonight.
We must have just heard the music, because when you hear the music in the context of the video, not only did I appreciate the songs more, but I appreciate the band in general. Yes.
So the first video we saw, we were just playing around on YouTube looking at music videos and stuff like that before we record, as we normally do. And this music video is great. It's from the new album that came out in 2016 called Only Ghost. The video is Cut It Short. And it's basically these two podcasters trying to interview them. And then they go on stage and... doing a sound check, and they all hate each other at this point because they're traveling and they're on a little van together.
Well, the setup for it is interesting because the podcasters ask him a question like, So do you guys have been together for a long time? Do you ever get on each other's nerves? And they're like, no. And then it just turns out as they're doing the sound check, they start thinking of all the things that piss each other, piss them off.
Guy playing with the lock up and down, and guy farting and shit. Yeah. Guy putting like barbecue sauce on his like powdered donut or something, whatever he was doing. It's a funny video.
It's like almost like this thing about like it being sort of a low budget video, but with a perfect amount of comedic ambition.
Yeah. They're funny guys.
They're funny
guys. The other video, speaking of low budget video, the video starts off with them getting a check from Relapse, because they're on Relapse Records,
for
$5,000
yeah.
to do a music video, and they go wasted on...
Yeah, the concept of the video is how they spend their money.
It's really funny. Really, it's so good. These are music videos that... they're definitely low budget. I mean, it doesn't take them a lot to do these.
Yeah.
But they're so
good. But they're creative. They're memorable and they're creative.
Apparently they have like 9 music videos.
Yeah, for all the grief that you and I give bands for doing shithouse music videos, this is an example of a band doing it right and creating a culture, like their own style that they can throw on YouTube and everyone's excited to see a video of theirs.
Over 1 million views. I'm like, okay, these guys are doing it right.
Yeah.
This is how they got popular. This is how they made it big.
And it's fun. And it's like, we're over here talking about the podcast. The only... You know, the one I keep going back to was a couple months ago. We were doing a show and we were talking about the video from, I think it might have been the Gus G Project, where they were doing the 300 like recreation something.
That was a Firewind.
Firewind.
Yeah.
And we're just like talking about what a waste of money it was, because it's just such a garbage video. It's like, this is an example of a band doing something that I'm gonna go and talk to people about this and be like, check out this band Red Fang.
You have to see
the videos. Go see the videos on YouTube, and they're gonna get some more fans out of this. So
I'm a fan.
Other bands take note. Not you don't have to. I mean, if you don't want to be funny, if you feel like your music doesn't lend itself to that, then don't force it. But at the same time, you have to think outside of the box. And this is an example of a band taking small budgets and making, you know, memorable ideas.
And Red Fang, they're a stoner metal band. Very comparable to, but they're sort of poppy stoner metal. So
they're like a poppy Clutch.
Yeah, I see a lot of Queens of the Stone Age, maybe, you know, Sleep, that kind of stuff. They had some groove that was like totally out of like based out of what Sleep would do.
Yeah.
It's really good stuff. I'm really digging these guys. I'm going to have to listen to them a lot more.
Yeah, definitely.
I know some of my co-hosts on Metal Geeks really dig them too, so.
Yeah.
So let's get into it. This is Red Fang. The song is called Cut It Short. Once you're done listening to this episode, don't do it now. If you're driving, wait till you get home, pull up Google, or pull up YouTube and watch all of the music videos. You will thank us later. They are great.
Right.
The LARPing one was great, too.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
So let's check them out. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Welcome Home, Avatarium.
Yeah. So, what'd you think of that?
I like it. I liked their very first album they put out two years ago or something like that. I've listened to maybe the first half of this album. I need to really dive back into it. But, so Leif Edling is not really involved. He was having some medical issues, so he's not touring, but didn't he help write some of this album?
He played on the album.
Did he play on the album?
I think so,
Not that I saw.
Oh, really?
I think he just helped write some of the music.
Okay. Because it definitely seems less like their least doom-tinged album.
Yeah.
Like, it's a little bit more, not up-tempo, because it still has the same kind of pacing that you'd expect Avatarium to have. But there's something more direct and concise, and maybe a little bit more hooky to their songwriting. And this is not too long ago they just released another album. It almost seems like last year, but I know it's maybe 2015 or something.
This is the third album, right?
Yeah. This album came out of nowhere. It surprised the hell out of me that they were releasing something so quick, because it just seemed like I had just heard these guys, a year or two ago.
Yeah, The Girl with the Raven Mask was the last album. I really liked that song a lot.
Yeah. That was 2015?
Yeah, 2015.
So, yeah, the turnaround surprised me, but the quality of this album is really surprising me. I keep on listening to it, and the song we played, Road to Jerusalem, it's a slow build of a song, and hopefully, you know, everyone stuck through it and didn't start fast-forwarding it because they were, impatient with the beginning, which is kind of slow and meandering, because when it hits to the second act of that song, it has this great build-up to this epic chorus. And it's hard to describe it. When I hear a song like that from this, when I hear this album, I think about incense smoke unfurling or something. You know, it's like it's very beautiful, but it's like it's just kind of slow and drifting, you know, into the air, that kind of thing. And it's I don't know. It's a mood setter. It's kind of an atmospheric, but gritty album, if that makes any sense. You know.
Sure does.
It's earthy but atmospheric at the same time.
Yeah, I like her vocals. Her name is what's her name?
Jenny something.
Jenny Ann Smith.
Yeah.
Pretty generic name there.
Yeah.
But she's a great vocalist.
She's kind of came out of nowhere. I guess Swedish homegrown talent that Leif Edling discovered.
Yeah, she's works with a psychosocial counselor in a major hospital in Stockholm.
Yeah.
All right.
Good band, and this might be their best album, I think.
Married to Marcus Jadell, who has been a replacement guitar player in Candlemass before.
Okay.
That's probably where they found her.
Yeah.
So, before Avatarium, we heard Red Fang.
Right.
The song we heard was called Cut It Short from Only Ghost, which is from a 2016 release. And like we mentioned, we just sort of really discovered them this evening as we were preparing for the show. I mean, we've heard them before, but until we visualized them, it didn't click. I think that's what it was.
Yeah, which sometimes that's the kind of thing it takes, you know, because there's a band that we're going to play tonight that I just got a visual of.
Yeah.
And sometimes it helps. Sometimes it really puts everything in the lockstep. It's not like if you had only heard Whitesnake's Here I Go Again on the radio, you wouldn't think that was a good song. But there's something about seeing the music video and Tawny Katane dancing on the car. And the driving on the car with her, you know, next to David Coverdale, and you're kind of like, you have all that imagery in your mind, and it somehow makes the song better.
Yeah.
You know, because you can visualize some impact or some, you know, dramatics. It's like, I don't know if you remember Toto's, before, Africa took over everything. You ever see the music video for that song, Rosanna?
Oh, yeah, I think so. It's been a while, but yeah.
It's like the one where they're playing in some sort of, you know, back alley stage set or sound stage, and they have the snapping guys, the snapping gangs and stuff, facing each other off over Rosanna in the video.
Right.
That is such a stylized video kind of predating even Michael Jackson's like Thriller and all that, you know, and Beat It and stuff like that. And it's like, I always remember seeing that video because I saw it a long time ago on MTV and just thinking like, wow, that's somehow like, it's goofy and it's cool at the same time. And this band looks goofy, but the whole video, the vibe of the video is cool. And I can never hear that song without thinking of that music video.
And that's what it's supposed to do. You're supposed to hear a song, remind you the visuals of it, you know?
Right, yeah.
That's what a good music video should do.
Yeah, and well, I don't know how I brought up Toto, but...
I don't either, but I was going with you on it.
Yeah. Africa, great music video for Africa, playing on a book or whatever that was. They're miniaturized playing on a book in a library or something. Maybe I'm misremembering that. I can't remember.
That I don't remember. I can't go with you on that one.
And you know, speaking of like good video, Auditarium, they make good videos too.
Yeah.
And she is very much a alluring focal point on the screen, I would say.
She's beautiful.
She's easy to look at, I'll say that. Yeah.
Okay, well, you can say that.
Okay.
That's not sexist or anything.
It's said. I go out of my way not to make a point about describing female like musicians' looks when I write on the Metal Pigeon because I don't want that to be a thing. But sometimes it just I don't know. It just gets thrown out there. It's easier on the podcast to say something like that, you know? Because then you can hear my tone. Whereas, you know, on the written...
I don't like your tone on that, man.
Well, whereas on the written page, yeah, if you're reading words, you can be like, oh, well, he's only into this band because of this. It's like, actually, no, that's not at all.
You're just sexist, admit it. You only like bands that have hot female singers. The hottest woman of metal issue. That annoys me.
I got them all.
Any other discussions for the evening?
So are you going to go see the Soulfly thing you have on the show notes here?
I don't know.
The Nail Bomb Project is, I don't know if people, do a lot of people know about that? Because I mean, I remember it. It just wasn't something that I thought was that big. You know? Think
it has a good cult following, I believe, you know?
Yeah. I wonder if I'm a Soulfly fan, would I enjoy that? You know, like
they're going to be doing the whole album in its entirety.
Okay.
I believe,
yeah.
From what I can tell. So if you don't know what we're talking about Nail Bomb, which was an album that came out, what?
1994.
94 or 95, something like that.
Yeah. It was pre-Roots, I remember that.
Yeah. And it was more industrial, you know, death metal influenced.
I remember having a friend who loved that album.
I still have my CD of it.
Yeah.
So basically it was Max Cavalera from Sepultura, Cavalera, Conspiracy, Soulfly, and Alex Newport from Fudge Tunnel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One album and played one live performance before disbanding. So yeah, came out. They were only around for 2 years.
Yeah.
Had Igor, so the band members are Max Cavalera, Alex Newport from Fudge Tunnel, Igor Cavalera, Andres Kisser from Sepultura, and Dino Cazares from Fear Factory.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's cool, I guess, you know. I'm surprised that they're going to devote a whole tour to it, but good, yeah, good for them. Are you going to go see it?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Soulfly in a long time, so
yeah.
Maybe they'll do a set of that and then maybe do like...
Yeah, I would think they'd have to, because if you're a Soulfly fan who doesn't care about that, you'd be like, what's your incentive to go if you're going to just hear unfamiliar material?
So they did one album and then one live album.
Yeah.
So, around for 2 years.
Yeah.
So, check it out. If you want to go see Max Cavalera doing industrial metal with Nail Bomb, it's a good time. Maybe. Maybe.
Yeah.
You know who else is coming to town soon? The Dead Cross.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's the Mike Patton.
Right, yeah.
Dave Lombardo.
Oh, yeah.
Project.
Yeah. They're opening for someone, right?
No, I think they're headlining.
Okay. Yeah.
What other shows are coming up? I know we have Insomnium with Epica. And who is it? Lacuna Coil and...
Yeah, that's sometime in the fall.
Who was the headliner on that show?
Epica.
Is it Epica?
And Lacuna Coil. I think they're co-headlining that.
Okay. It's a good tour.
July, well, in July, I'm going to go see July 19th, I think Wednesday, they're in Walters, High Spirits is coming.
Who?
You know Chris Black? He has like, all these different bands, like High Spirits. He has Dawnbringer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he's the drummer in Pharaoh.
Okay.
But he's like the vocalist for these other bands. And so High Spirits is his more kind of Scorpions-inspired rock and roll band. And they're going to be doing this their show at Walters, so I'm going to go see that. It's like $10 tickets. Yeah, that'll be cool. I'm going to go do that. And then Theocracy on July 28th at the BFE Rock Club. Go see them.
What about Camelot?
Well, in 2018, in May of 2018, yeah, I'll go see that.
It's funny that we're talking about a show that's
earliest I've ever seen a tour announced in my life, I know, think.
Camelot, Delane, and Battle Beast.
Yeah. It'll be a great show.
Eh.
I'll be there.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I saw Camelot last time they came through.
I did, too. I saw them with Dragon Force.
What? When did they play Scout Bar, then? A couple tours ago?
Oh, that was a couple tours ago, yeah.
Okay, that's when I saw them.
Yeah, they came back again on the Silverthorn tour.
They didn't have a vocalist on that tour, did they?
They had Fabio Leone.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But yeah, Tommy played over
Fabio
here.
Fabio Leone and Simone Simons was playing on that tour.
Yeah.
Yeah,
They packed out. They played at Warehouse Live in the ballroom. They packed that place out. It was them and Dragon Force.
In the big ballroom?
In the big ballroom. Wow. They had a lot of people there, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
And they're playing House of Blues this coming up time.
Yeah. That's fine.
What's wrong with House of Blues? It's okay.
It's always good when I go there. It's just I'm always just sort of like, downtown, pay for parking. My complaints. You know, I'd rather see a band at Scout Bar.
Yeah.
Which has kind of like become quietly my favorite venue.
Well, if you ever want to go to a House of Blues show, just ride with me. You don't have to pay for parking.
Yeah. I should, yeah.
Let's get into... our next two bands and our wrap up.
Okay.
How's that?
Yes.
So let's do our wrap up first, you know, where people can find us and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So, of course, you are listening to episode number 195 of the MSR Cast. You can find us on the internet at MSRcast.com and MetalGeeks.net. You can find us on iTunes. Search for either Metal Geeks or MSR Cast. You will be able to subscribe to us there, give us a like, give us a 5-star review, really help people find the shows. There is one feed for both shows there. You can find, of course, us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, all at MSRcast, mostly Twitter and Facebook for the show.
And find me at the Metal Pigeon, metalpigeon.com, and at Metal Pigeon, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I need to figure out something to do with the Instagram. I have ideas, though. I have some vague ideas.
Cash me outside. What are you going to do?
How about that?
How about that? We're going to get into our last song of the evening. We're going to cut one short since we've talked a lot.
Yeah.
This was a song that we actually featured on Metal Geeks episode last week with George Hates Metal.
Hmm.
So go back and listen to the last episode of Metal Geeks. And see what George had to say about this. The next band we're about to play.
I'm actually like a quarter way through that episode, so I'm
you'll
about
get to
it. Yeah.
The band, of course, we're going to play is called the Night Flight Orchestra. And I discovered these guys one day. We were just sitting around watching YouTube. We were watching Nuclear Blast, which these guys is their label. Watching music videos, just, you know, letting them go next to the next thing, whatever is new. And this came up.
I'm annoyed that no one's told us about them before.
I know.
Like, what the hell ever happened to, like, people, like, letting other people know about stuff that you should know about?
That's what we're doing now.
Right. Yeah.
As soon as I found out about it, I texted Justin, because he's a huge fan of the guy. The vocalist in this band, he's a huge fan of his other band.
Yeah.
And he just freaked the fuck out.
Yeah.
So, the band features guitar player from Soilwork, as well as Bjorn Speed Strid, lead singer from Soilwork, and the bass player is Charlie D'Angelo.
Yeah.
Who's been in so many bands. He's now in Arch Enemy. He's been in Witchery and King Diamond and all these different bands.
Is Bjorn doing vocals in a way that you've never really heard him do vocals before? I mean, he does Queen vocals and solo work, but not like that. These are this band is like, and it'll help if you just, if you want to, you're going to hear the song here, but we'll really put all this all together. So if after you listen to the podcast, go to YouTube and look up their video for the song. Or any of their songs,
yeah.
Watch their videos because they are doing a, and if the name didn't clue it in, Night Flight Orchestra, they're sort of giving a throwback to those days of kind of ELO and Bachman Turner Overdrive and
yeah, it's
stuff
very,
like that.
Yeah, very, you know, 70s AOR symphonic type rock.
Yeah, it's like a, for the
totally retro.
Right.
And it's late 70s, early 80s, you know.
But it's they're doing something retro that like not even a band like Ghost is doing.
No.
Because they're embracing the sort of, these guys are kind of embracing the geekiness of the of that aesthetic. Like if you see the music video, even the way the woman looks in the music video is very throwbackish. And the whole thing, it's stylized even to what they're wearing, like blazers, like old, like sport coats and stuff
like
that.
And the music video is done like in 4x3 and
right.
It's like,
yeah.
You can see tracking problems and dirt on it.
Yeah.
Everything about it, it's a labor of love,
yeah.
And in tribute.
Great videos.
Great videos. Yeah. One of them's like the song we're going to play, Gemini. The video for it, it's an animated video.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of heavy metal.
Right, yeah.
Not the genre of the music, but the movie.
The movie, yeah.
It's a really great video, and there's no live action, and there's no none of that. It's a completely animated video.
Yeah.
Really cool. Go check them out. Watch their music videos. Just like, the same. While you're at it, go watch the Red Fang music videos. These are guys that are making worthwhile videos that they last.
Yeah.
They stick with you. They make you enjoy the band that much more.
Yeah. It's interesting. I think just a couple episodes ago, you and I were complaining about how like most metal bands' music videos suck. And like just a couple episodes later, we're getting good examples of current bands, they're doing good stuff in that regard. So
yeah, totally. So next episode, look forward to some music from a little band called Ed Guy,
mm-hmm.
who have a new album coming out. Well, sort of. They have a greatest hit package.
Yeah.
With like 5 new tracks on it.
Yeah.
So it's almost an EP of new music. We have some other bands that we're going to get into. There's a discussion I want to have with you about should bands re-record their music.
Mm.
And we're going to play a band that just did that.
Yeah.
Which is very confusing because this band is now 3 bands. It's very confusing how this is going on.
That'll be an interesting debate because the re-record thing, I'm sort of like, I can see both sides.
And I've listened to the re-recording of this album, and it sounds really good.
It does.
We're talking about Rhapsody of Fire.
Yeah. It, there's some good stuff on there.
Yeah, but it's still a little strange.
Yeah.
And we will talk about our wonderful, hopefully, Iron Maiden experience.
Yeah.
And I think that's it for this episode.
All right.
Let's get into the Night Flight Orchestra. Of course, we said this is a song called Gemini from the album Amber Galactic, which is out now on Nuclear Blast Records. Check it out, and we will see you guys next time. Keep it metal.
Keep it metal.
All right, check it out. Spoglądam w niebo w poszukiwaniu znaku. I just look to the
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.